We've been discussing this week the interesting topic of whether or not a Aseh Dirabanan Dirabim is Docha and Aseh Diraisa of Yachid. So there is no explicit Gemara that talks about when a Dirabanan is Rabim and a Diraisa is Yachid. We do have explicit Gemaras about that a Rabim is Docha Yachid. I mean, the Gemara we saw in the Yudam Rebbeis earlier, a couple weeks ago, the Gemara said that when it comes to Avelus on Regel, we said, Ein noeg Avelus b'regel. We don't practice Avelus on Regel. Gemara said, because since Regel is Rabim, and Avelus is a Yachid, Rabim is Doche, a Yachid. So that concept that Rabim, it's mitzvah the tzibur, mitzvah the Rabim, is greater than a mitzvah the Yachid. But we don't know whether Avelus and Regel in that context were Dereises or Derabanans. We said it's debatable whether Avelus is Dereisa, we said there are three Shitas, and whether Regel b'smanazeh is Dereisa or Derabanan. So part of this conversation of figuring out whether this concept is true is firstly defining what's Deraisa, what's Derabanan. Number two is figuring out whether or not something is a Yachid or a Rabim. And then thirdly, when they come together, which one's going to win? So we do have a Mefurish Gemara that Rabim is greater than Yachid, but that might be on if they're both Deraisas or if they're both Derabanans. We also know that a Deraisa is Doche Derabanan. That's also true. A Deraisa Yachid is going to be Doche a Derabanan, the Yachid. But we don't know when you have Rabim, which is greater, but it's only Derabanan, versus Yachid, which is weaker, but it's a Deraisa. That's what we don't know. So there seem to be two Gemaras that can possibly serve as a proof that yes, in fact, a Rabim, even though Derabanan, is greater than a Yachid, even though it's Deraisa. So the very first one is possibly the Gemara that we saw on the bottom of Yudalad Amud Beis. And the Gemara is talking about whether or not Mitzora keeps his knowing his Saras Halacha is on Yontif itself. And the Gemara says that he does not. The Gemara says there is no Nihug Saras on Yontif. And the Gemara explains, Rashi explains, but even though Tzaras is a mitzvah deraisa, that he has to keep, it says, Shelo yavo el tocha machane v'lo yigalech, the pasuk says he shouldn't go into the machane, to din deraisa, still we say he doesn't have to keep the regel. So why not? Why is regel trumping the mitzvah of Tzaras? That's the question. Tzaras is a deraisa. So the Karen Ora says it must be that regel has to be deraisa otherwise. We saw last week or 2 weeks ago, this machlok is whether or not Simchas Regel Bizman Azeh is Deraisa Derabanan. So according to some, Tosos said that Bizman Azeh Simcha is only Mitzvah Mederabanan Bizman Azeh. Because Ein Simcha Ela Bas V'Yayin, which meant Karban Shlamim. And so no Karban Shlamim anymore, so it'd only be a Mitzvah Mederabanan. But Rambam said, no, even Bizman Azeh, you could fulfill Simcha on all different types of ways. And Simcha Bizman Azeh would be Deraisa. So the Karen Ora says, wait a second, so how come the Gemara says here that Yontif is greater than Tzaras? Tzaras is Deraisa. So he says, must be that Simcha is also Deraisa Bizman Hazeh. That's why Simcha is able to override Tzaras. That was the assumption of the Karen Ora. But the Marat Chia says, no, that you got it all wrong. Even if you assume that Regel Bizman Hazeh, Simcha Bizman Hazeh is only Derabanan, it's better than Mitzoras, better than Tzaras, because a Regel is a Mitzvah Derabim. Even though it's Derabanan, we don't care. A Mitzvah Derabim, Afal Pi it's Derabanan, is greater than a Mitzvah Deraisa, since it's only a Yachid. So this is the proof the Marat Chiyah says, that Mitzvah Derabanan Derabim is greater than Mitzvah Deyachid of a Deraisa. That's what he proves from this Gemara of Tzaras not taking place on the Yontif. So it says this is exactly a proof for the Tosfos in Brachos. So this is one proof. So Gemara Moikatan is one proof. There's a machlokas whether this could prove that point. What's the second Gemara that deals with this? That again, not explicitly, is the Gemara that we all saw, Brachos Mem Zayin and Beis. I quoted this Gemara also the other day between Mincha Marv and Shavuos, the famous Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer Shenichnas LeBeis HaKnesses VeLamatza Asara. They were in Shul. And they didn't find, there wasn't a minyan. They wanted to daven. They wanted to hear leinu. So what did they do? They were shicher avdo v'shlimo liyasara. They freed the slave in Eved Kenani that was there, and he made the minyan. So just the basics about Eved Kenani, that a Eved Kenani is a non-Jew. If a Jew buys a non-Jew as his slave, he's called an Eved Kenani. Now when he becomes an Eved Kenani, so he goes through a process of geirus, there's a tvila, and he's a kabbalas al mitzvah, so now he's a mila, and he becomes an Eved Kenani, but he's keeping halachas, keeping mitzvahs in my home. So he's called an Eved Kanani, but he keeps mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs does he keep? Any mitzvahs women are chayvin, he's chayvin. It says law by Isha, it says law by Eved Kanani, Gzer Shava. Women are chayvin mitzvahs, he's chayvin mitzvahs. Women are pater mitzvahs asay shezman gramas. Eved Kanani is also pater from mitzvahs asay shezman grama. Now, the moment a person frees a slave, he goes to a whole other level. The Rambam says he goes to another mikvah, another tevilah, and he becomes now a full Jew. He's a full Jew. He's a man now in regards to all halachas, and he would keep all the mitzvahs, even mitzvahs aseis, shezman grama. And now, since he's a free person, he's a real ger now that he's free, he could complete the minyan. So now the question becomes, how could you complete the minyan? How could you free him, rather? This is an issa deraisa of li olam behem tavod. You cannot free him. Li olam behem tavod means li olam forever behem with them tavod. You have to enslave them. There's an issa to do that. So Gemara says, no, because for davar mitzvah, it's permitted. How is that permitted? So it's ase dochalosa. Say, what exactly is going on here? So they say, but isn't a mitzvah babi avera? How could you take if I steal your lulav to shake it, mitzvah babi avera. I can't steal it. So how could I free an eved, which is a violation on a derish level, to fulfill a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah babi avera. And the Gemara says, mitzvah derabim shiny. When it comes to a mitzvah that is going to be on the level of the rabim, that's different. And we could override that. So that's how there's a lot of questions, what's going on here. So many things to talk about on this sugya. So we see from here, though, so what's the mitzvah derabim here? What's so special about mitzvah derabim? The mitzvah derabim is getting a minyan. Have a minyan together that's able to override an issa deraisa of li olam behem tavodu. Now, mitzvah of minyan, is that a mitzvah minyan? Is that deraisa or derabanan? It's derabanan. It's tefillah. Tefillah is derabanan. Tosafot says this is tefillah, which is only derabanan. The Rosh says, well, isn't there a concept of a niskadshi b'soch b'nei Yisrael to sanctify Kadosh Baruch Hu's name? Isn't that some level of a deraisa? So he says, no, it's not. That might be the case on a Parsha Zachar, where there's a mitzvah deraisa to hear Parsha Zachar. But it sounds like from the Rosh that, no, it's really not a derabanan. We assume that minyan is only derabanan. In terms of the requirement of minyan, there's a well-known Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. These are one of the things we don't say outside the base medrash, and something we don't say Bizman Azai either so much, because it could really discourage people from coming to minyan. But the Shulchan Aruch says, l'shtadl means, put a little shtadl, let's try hard. It doesn't say chayiv to come to minyan. I was once at a chasana, and I won't say who, but a certain Rosh Hashiva was there, and it was a very small hall. So you'd walk in, you walked into the hall from the street, and there was a small, wouldn't even call it a lobby. It was maybe a 6x6 lobby area. There's some bathrooms over here, and then you walk into another room, and then that was like the hall. So he came out of the bathroom, and it went to the wall to say Asher Yatzar. Then 10 minutes later, he was still saying Asher Yatzar, and it became clear to me he was just davening Maariv. He wasn't looking for, he wasn't trying to chop a minute together. It was time for Maariv, so he went to the bathroom, washed up, and then he started davening Maariv b'Yechidus. He wasn't trying to hide at all. That he was, if I had to daven b'Yechidus, I'd try to find some booth and pretend I was on the phone or something like that. So he wasn't trying to hide anything. So some people have that type of confidence. But the Shulchan Aruch and Ram say, l'shtadel, you should try hard. So the reason why we don't say this, obviously, because a person, when he knows this, so then he's going to say, oh, hey, I have to wake up on time, I could come whatever. So even though it's a very, and it's something that nowadays people only have minyan. That's their only attachment sometimes to Yiddishkeit, unfortunately. That's all they have. So if you take that away from them and say, ah, what are you doing? That's not a big deal at all. Now you've really pulled the rug out from under them. So let them have that. And we all should. There's a huge inyan in terms of the tefillahs being answered. It's more impactful when you daven in a minyan. But that being said, minyan at best is only a derabanan. So we see from here, then, that the mitzvah derabim, the minyan, which only derabanan, is able to override an issa deraisa of yachid of liolam behem tavodu. So this is a second raya for this concept of rabim derabanan is greater than yachid deraisa. If you look at Tosas says this very clearly. Tosas writes in number 4, mikan kasha, from this gemara, this sugya, we have a question against lahag, the halachos gedolos, that's the bahag. The pirish demisha meislo meis biyantiv, a person whose relative dies in yantiv acharon, davelis noig. So yantiv sheni, the last day of Pesach, last day of Sukkot. So everyone agrees, there's no deraisa on the last day. Deraisa, there's no such thing as yantiv sheni. But the Gemara is in Beya and Erevin and elsewhere, Rosh Hashanah, tell us that we keep Yantav Sheni. Everyone always asks the question, how come we keep Yantav Sheni? Back then, they didn't know when this man was, so they weren't sure when the new month was, so outside of Eretz Yisrael, we keep 2 days to because maybe yesterday was the Yantav, maybe today is the Yantav, but nowadays we know exactly when this man is. We know exactly when the Yantav is, when Rosh Chodesh is, because Minag Avosenu B'Yadeinu, we have a practice, and we always continue the Misora, the tradition from our parents. So then, but Yantav Sheni is weaker though. There's an inherent weakness to Yantav Sheni since it's very weak. For example, the Gemara says with regards to Yantav Sheni, Shavya Rabbanan Kechol, with regards to Kavura and Refuah, that even though on a normal Shabbos and Yantav you can't give Refuah, a person is ill, you can't give him medicine, and that's it's very serious. A person who has a headache, you're not supposed to take a medication on Yantav or Shabbos. But Yantav Sheni, there are no restrictions of Refuah. Because it's inherently, it's weaker, because it's really, it's a low-level yantiv. And the garbage with kavur as well, you could bury with aidea amamim, through non-Jews. So there's a certain weakness in the garbage yantiv sheni. So says the Bahag, so too, if a person experiences a death in the family, yantiv achara, on the last day of yantiv, so then we could say, avelis, which is deraisa, at least that's how the Rambam, how the Tosfos paskins, avelis deraisa, is going to override yantiv sheni, which is only Dirabanan. So he says, wait a second. Isn't Yantif Rabim and Avelis is only Yachid? So how could you say that? So therefore he concludes that the Bahag's wrong. That even in Yantif Sheni, even though Yantif Sheni is a Dirabanan, since it's also a Rabim, it's greater than Avelis. Even though Avelis is Diraisa, because Avelis is only a Yachid. So that's the big nafkamina that Tosfos proves from this sugya, that we would say that Yantav Sheni goes on and we wouldn't begin Avelis until the next day. Now he has an interesting proof for this. Interesting proof that the Tosfos has. How do I know that Yantav is greater than Avelis? So one proof was the Gemara here, that a mitzvah the Rabbim in general is greater than any mitzvah the Yachin. But he had a second proof when it came to the Gemara in Ksubis. Those who learn Maseches Ksubis in Yeshiva will be familiar with the concept of a person, chasen and kala. And let's say they lose a parent the day of the wedding, so we say, let the wedding go on, and then they don't practice Shiva until after the Sheva Brachos. So they do a whole, the Gemara describes the whole event, the Seder HaDvarim, but there's Sheva Brachos, and then Avelis is only a week later, it's been delayed. So how do you delay Avelis? How does that happen? So we say, that's a halacha. So says Tosfos, if Sheva Brachos could push off Avelis, so certainly Yantav Sheni, which is a mitzvah derabim, could certainly push off Avelis. That's the proof that Tosfos has, another proof for this halacha. So now, in terms of the question of rabim, so right now Tosfos is holding a mitzvah derabim always overrides a mitzvah deyachid. So Tosfos wants, the Marsha wants to know, so I understand how Yantav is a mitzvah derabim. That I get. Everyone's involved in the mitzvah. I understand how mitzvah of a minyan is a mitzvah derabim. You need 10 people. But he wants to know, Marsha asks, how is the simchas chasam akala, what's the mitzvah derabim there? Mitzvah derabim, everyone has regel. That's for the rabim. Minyan, you have 10 people who were here. But how come we're saying that the shivas yimei mishta is rabim, why is that more rabim than avelis? If that's the yisov, that rabim is doch avelis, so what's Simchas Yantav, Simchas Chasam Akala? Chasam Akala is sitting here and you dance in front of them. So what's Avelis? People are sitting Shiva and we're going to visit them, make them feel better. So isn't that the same Yisrael? Either you're going to assume that Chasam Akala is Rabim and Avelis should also be Rabim. So you can't prove from there that the Simcha of Rabim is greater than Avelis the Yachid. Because maybe Avelis should be Rabim, just like Simchas Chasam is Rabim. Well, again, there's a person who's the object, and the subject are going to visit the object. Some one case it's a Simcha, one case it's Avelis. But they should be either both Yachid, or they should both be Rabim. So the Tzlach comes along, the Noz Bruder comes along and proves as follows. The Noz Bruder says that Simchas Chasam and Kala is called Rabim, while Avelis is not. Why? Because when it comes to Simchas Chasam and Kala, everyone is being misameach together. We all have the same simcha, bring simcha to each other. It's not like they're just like a target and we're making them happy and they're sitting back. It's to make them happy and all of us are together with simcha. As opposed to Avelis, there are very different roles that are playing here. Those who are seeing Shiva are mourning, those who are visiting are comforting the mourners. So they're very different parts here, and they're considered separate. So therefore, avelus is considered a mitzvah diyachid, while simchas chasam v'kala is considered mitzvah dirabim. So right now we have, again, two sources of this concept, a few different applications. Question, yeah?
Yeah, question on the olam hamta'avudu. What exactly is the nature of that mitzvah? Meaning, how do you categorize that as a mitzvah diyachid? Because, what is the idea, what's the value that the Torah is trying to bring? I mean, we have to darshan time of the kraf, we're going to classify it as yachid or rabim. Is it that
no.
The Jewish, that people should be enslaved to the Jewish people? Or is the idea that every individual should have non-Jews enslaved to them?
No. I don't think you have to darshan time of the kraf for this. I think it's very simple. That only the owner has the right to free or enslave him. That's a mitzvah diyachid. Like anything else, mitzvah diyachid. If, velus, everyone has a mitzvah to have a lulav, shake lulav, but that's called mitzvah diyachid. Even though we're all doing it, that's called mitzvah. I don't need you to do my lulav. So liom bem tavodu is on me as the owner. So we don't have the darshan time in the craft for that. There might be an underlying principle in what...
Why are some mitzvahs worded in the singular, like lo tzitzach, it was enough, but some mitzvahs are worded in the plural, like lo holam ben ta'avodu?
There could be different reasons for all of them. Each one, there's no general rule, but just because it's it's formulated in the rabbim doesn't mean it's a mitzvah that's a chova on the tzibur, that requires a tzibur, or that's on the tzibur. So lo holam ben ta'avodu, if a person doesn't have a slave, doesn't have such a mitzvah. And you have no right to free my slave, it won't work. You just don't have that ability. You don't have the ownership to do so. But in terms of your question, just in terms of the nature of Yom Bem Tavodu, it happens to be a fascinating discussion. There's a Ramban in Minchas Chinuch, Sefer Chinuch, they have a machlokas, how Yom Bem Tavodu works. And they try to figure out the nature of it and why it's allowed for you to free him for a mitzvah, like a minyan. What's the basis for this? So the Gemara says, because mitzvah derabim is greater. So the Ramban says that lo mem tavodu is really like the iser of lo sechanim. The pasuk says lo sechanim. And the Gemara in the Zohar says there are three definitions of lo sechanim. One is you can't give any land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew. Number two is you can't give chen, you can't say how great they are. And number three is that you can't give them a matnas chinam, you can't give them a free gift. You can't, let's say, you had a restaurant and you have some franchise you didn't touch, and there's a guy sitting there, give it to the non-Jew, take my franchise, that would be considered a matnas chinam. You can't give them a free gift. If you're giving a person a tip, you're someone who does a service for you, giving a gift to your mailman, that's all allowed because there's a certain service, even though you don't have to give the tip. It's a nice thing to give them. It's part of the service that's understandable. It's part of a relationship that you have with them. So he says, Liol Mem Tavodu, the violation is that you can't give them a free gift. The Ramban assumes even though they're partially Jewish, they're still considered non-Jewish until they're fully free. So you can't give them a free, you can't free them for no reason. That's a Lo Sechanim. But if there's a purpose, if there's a need, you're gaining something out of it, like a service. You tip the waiter for giving you a service, you're freeing him so you could get a minim. That's not Lo Sechanim, that's considered Mota. That's the understanding of the Ramban. Why do you need that?
Torah could have left out that pasuk, and we would have still known you can't free the slave because it's a manas chinam.
Well, you don't know that would be considered manas chinam. Like the Torah is being mechadesh, that's considered manas chinam. Had not.
A separate mitzvah is a clarification of the lo sechanim.
That's what it sounds like. Exactly. That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Okay. So again, we see many a couple of applications of this concept of what's rabbim. Again, we have to define what's mitzvah the rabbim. So mitzvah the rabbim would be considered regel, minyan, and yontif would be rabbim, and a simchas chasam v'kala. Those are four examples of a mitzvah the rabbim. And now we have a debate whether or not we say every single rabbim will be docha yachid, even though the rabbim is derabanan. And the Yachas deraisa, so Tosis brings two rayas from this concept. One is the Gemara in Moikada, and that Tsaras is pushed off by the regel of Rabim, which may be only derabanan, and yet still is docha. And number two is the minyan, the getting the minyan, which is only derabanan, since it's Rabim, it's docha, the Issa deraisa of Yachid of Liolam Behem Tevodu. So that's the Sigur. Yeah.
Why Rambam doesn't use that Gemara with freeing the slave? More than the Mishtado. It seems like it's a real chazak mitzvah, the fact that he freed his slave.
Interesting. I think it's based on the language that the Gemara Brachos itself uses. I don't remember exactly the language, but I think the first paragraph discusses it. There's some, I think it says something lishtadel. Why the Gemara says that? That shows you, I guess, that the Musa would be that even for mitzvahs that only require hishtadlus, this is hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is freeing to get. It doesn't mean to be lazy. Hishtadlus means put effort in. This would be an example of putting effort in, and even though it's only a shadel, we see how important it is to go to great efforts to fulfill even low-level mitzvahs and cumen. Now, at the end of the day, how do we paskin? How do we paskin with this concept whenever there's a clash between a rabbim and a yachid, what would we paskin like? So the Prima Gadim assumes that he thinks that a davar Torah, mitzvah deraisa, should never be pushed off by a mitzvah derabanan. Even if that mitzvah derabanan is one of rabbim, we never push it off. That's the understanding of the Prima Gadim, and he rejects Tosfos. Now, the challenge with this Prima Gadim is we paskin like this Tosfos. We say that if a person experiences a relative's death on Yantif Achron, we assume that you keep Yantif, you don't keep Avelis. So I don't know why the Prima Gadim says this, that that's the case, that we deraisa always overrides a derabanan. That's not true, because Avelis, which is deraisa, does not override Yantif Achron. But that's the understanding of the Prima Gadim. So the two fascinating tshuvas I brought here about this concept of weighing between a rabbim and a mitzvah, the yachid. Rabbi Kiv Eger dealt with the shaila that people lived in a certain village next to a big city. And there was they had to cross over a river to get there. And they wanted to go over on Shabbos to Davin. So are they allowed to cross over, go on a boat, get in a canoe, a kayak, to go to catch him in every single Shabbos? Are they allowed to do this? So he goes on to a whole discussion, and I don't want to get to all the details of tchum, or, he says going on a boat is like swimming. Swimming is an isser derabanan. Swimming really you can do on a deraisa level, but midirabanan you're not allowed to. So he gets into the whole conversation of are you allowed to violate a derabanan isser to accomplish a mitzvah derabim. That's a shaila. So again, I want to get to minin. I want to chop the minin here. So if I have to go through a derabanan of traveling on a boat on Yantif, on Shabbos, am I allowed to do that? So he goes on to a whole conversation about tchum, about making an Erev, and he ends up saying, if you just go to the next page here, to this is page number, I don't have page numbers here, but the end of source number 10, he says the following point here, very interesting. He says the top line, De'ahid de'gittin, that Gemara in Brachos, we spoke about it, freeing the Eved Kanani, appears in two places. It appears in Brachos, appears in the Meseches Gittin. He quotes the Gemara in Gittin. That sugya in Gittin, the Rabbi Eliezer Shichr La'avdo, he freed his slave in order to accomplish the minyan. So we see that a minyan, mitzvah derabim, can override a deraisa, so certainly mitzvah derabim should be able to override an isser derabanan of traveling on a boat on Shabbos. He says, Imkain, we see from here, Chazinan, De'afilo deraisa dachinan, kol shgen shvus derabanan. So shouldn't this be a proof that you should be able to travel by boat on Shabbos to fulfill the mitzvah derabim of minyan? Mikol Malkum nearly the Ein Raya, there is no proof. The Gavei Shichur Shiny the Zikur Rabim Adif. There's a couple of levels of understanding mitzvah the Rabim. There's one where you're fulfilling a mitzvah the Rabim, and there's one where you're being mezakeh the Rabim. Meaning they don't need you for the minyan. In the case of the brachos and Gidin, the tenth man was necessary. You didn't have a minyan until you freed the Eved Kanani. So he's mezakeh the Rabim. Being mezakeh the Rabim is a higher level than just joining the Rabim. So he says the very next paragraph, Ulufizeh akopanim mutilavor besvin lahashlim lasara, there's a shaper yeshlamod mikoshke meshichr. If you're the tenth man, they have nine guys, and there's one guy who's across the river and needs to get in a boat to get here, then you'd be allowed to because it's mezak the rabbim. They need you to create the rabbim, like they needed the Eved Kanani to make the minim. But if they have a minim without you, they don't need you to mezak the rabbim.
The drive to shul also.
But that might be their isis. Those are the first.
So?
No, so you're saying. So very good. So we'll see in a second. Maybe there's a difference. Very good. So it might be a difference between an ase, iser ase versus a los ase, but very good. So in terms of this right now, he says if you need mezakeh the rabbim, so then you can violate the rabbanon. And Bidomim saying take it a step further. Well, we violated the raisa in the Gemara. The Olam Bam Tavod is the raisa. Let the guy drive to shul. Now this is obviously going to be very, very. That itself is a challenging psak. And if you were to allow that, that'd be a very slippery slope. But at least mitzad halacha, there may be room.
The conservative
movement. Right? Okay, there's some basis here in Rabbi Kiv Eger. So
would that be, is that the right to have a car? Is that, would that
it's
be?
Fire.
Yeah, so it'd be havara. Havara, yeah. So then he says, but then he goes on the whole other conversation.
If it's an electric car, or if you take a bus, then you're not going to tell Durban.
Bus would be Durban. When you guys here for when Rabbi Gottlieb spoke, Shal Shittis, it was when Seth Sklar made Bar Mitzvah, he said a fascinating story, Shal Shittis. Who was it? Was it Rav Palm? I don't remember who it was, but it was on Yom Kippur. We forgot to tell a certain Alman or something, so he traveled on the bus on Yom Kippur to help her. I forgot exactly why it was. And in such a case, so you could violate the Rabbanan for some, it was a big inin. I forget what it was. It was a very, very fascinating story. But anyways, we see from here that the difference of being mezakeh the Rabbim versus fulfilling a mitzvah the Rabbim where they don't need you, though. A kiyum the Rabbim. So then he says, he goes through a whole conversation further about tchum and whatnot. So then he says, ulefi zeh, jump now further to another paragraph, that bold, halfway down the page here. Ulefi zeh ein raya lahatir shvus derabanan lahashlim asara. He says, just because we allow you to violate the raisa of liolam hem tavodu, it can prove that a shvus is permitted as well. The yesh lomer dafka shichur dehavi rak asay, freeing an eved is only an isra asay, not so bad, about b'shvus derabanan. Now this is a fascinating point. A shvus derabanan, you would say at first glance, if it could violate the raisa, it should certainly violate the derabanan. He says no. A shvus derabanan may be worse because hamidu divrayim, the chachamim had given greater stature to a shvus derabanan ki ilu mulacha deraisa, as if it's a deraisa. The yesh baasei velo sasei vegam kares and yesh lomer dezel lo nidchem ibnei dezikoi harabim. So even if they do need you for the minyan, it's possible that a shvus is worse than a deraisa. Rather worse than an isra say deraisa. Shvus at the same level.
But really it's not just an asay, because the thing with the tzaras was a mamash lo sasei.
So you're
saying it's the mitzvah derabim is docha mamash lo sasei, not just an isra asay.
Correct. So, but you, again, that gemara in Moikatan that you're talking about may not be talking about a regel is only derabanan. Remember, we had two interpretations of our gemara. If you assume regel is deraisa, so you have to. I'm not sure we're passing that way, Neth. I'm not sure we do. You know, I don't know if we do or not. So that's still an open question. It was Maritz Chiyus who brought that as a raya. For some reason, Tosfos in Brachos didn't bring the sugya here more cut than as a raya, which is always why not? He should have if it really was a raya. So he could have some other reason why not. We don't know why. But it was just interesting food for thought that it may be a raya, but it may not. It's not muchach to say that. But if it is, then you're right. Then if you no one brings this raya other than this Maritz Chiyus. The Rebbe Kiviger doesn't bring this raya either. I don't know why. So there must be something wrong with this raya, which I don't know what it is. It could be Kui Paskin that regel was Ma'azer deraisa, and therefore it has no bearing on this conversation of Rabim derabanan versus Yachid deraisa. There's so many fascinating points in this Rebbe Kiviger here that he's really bolstering up what the level of a shvus is, that a shvus is almost the same level as a deraisa of a Shabbos, which is a lav, an asay, and a kares all put together. And although maybe you could free an Eved Kanani, you cannot necessarily travel by boat and certainly not by car, even if they need you for that minyan. That's how he paskins in the end of the day. Now, another place where this concept of Asa Derabim comes up is an interesting shiloh, which does come up. I know a few years ago, a person was giving a shir. It was a tinus. And every single one, he regularly give a weekly shir. And then he'd bring a cup of water, he'd say a bracha. So then he gave a cup of water like every other time he gave a shir. And everyone forgot it was a tinus or early in the morning. They said, Shahakol Nebidvaro. And then, before he takes a drink, he realizes that's a tinus. Then now he has to deal with, does he take a sip because he just said a bracha, but at the same time it's also a tinus. So what are you supposed to do? So look at the fascinating shaila here, number 11, in Reb Zilberstein. Reb Zilberstein raises this question, Shachach u'beiruch b'tinus al-maim ha'im yishtem'at. The guy says a bracha and forgot that it was a tinus. Are you supposed to go ahead and drink the water, take a sip, or no? Better to just say baruch shem kvod malchus olilam ve'ed. So he has the following distinction. He quotes in the Shari Tshuva, and Taf Kuf Samaches, Shemisha neder l'sanos v'shachach u'beiruch. A person makes a neder, not a tinus sibur, a neder that I'm going to fast today for whatever reason. He forgets he's fasting because everyone else in his family is busy eating breakfast, so he forgets and he says a bracha. Das nichba b'kesef she'uchal pachos mikazayis k'dei she'abracha lo tia levatala. So he seems to lean towards saying you have a little less, a little crumb, this way the bracha is not levatala. But the Shari Tshuva says that might be true by a tainus yachid, a personal tainus I took me tzad of neder. The Shari Tshuva hiniach b'tzarech iyun b'dalat tzomos. The dalat tzomos, which are mitzvah tainus at tzibur, there he's not sure and writes kasev de omer baruch shem kavod malchus olyom ve'ed. But lo nisbar hatam lama shona tainus tzibur b'tainus yachid. What's the difference? How come the Shari Tshuva says by tainus yachid you should drink something, eat something small, but tainus tzibur says say baruch shem? What's the difference? Any suggestions what the difference is between Tainus Yachid and a Tainus Tzibur? So one's Rabban, there's Yachid. So that's what he suggests at the end. We'll see. I'm not sure if that's going to be a great application based on what we just saw, but it could be. So look what he says first. First he says that maybe, look at this paragraph, V'dafka b'kibal of Tainus Amin and Tawim vein b'kach klum. Only when he accepts upon himself a personal Tainus is he allowed to taste something. Maybe in the way the tainus was established, the Gemara itself in Brachos has a shaila whether you could taste something on tainus tzibur, on a tainus actually. And the Rishon argue, is that shaila only on a tainus tzibur, but not a tainus yachid, or is it shaila even on a tainus yachid? So there's room to say that tainus tzibur was established as a more serious day than a tainus yachid. Meaning, mikra adin, ti'im is not really considered achila. Tasting's allowed. But the Chacham made a chumra on a tainus tzibur. So it has to do with the question of the establishment of a tainus tzibur versus a tainus yachid. That's one avenue to take. It is deraisa, but still, it doesn't, even though it's a deraisa, it doesn't mean that it has the same restrictions as a tainus tzibur. Meaning, it could be in general, when it comes to a definition of a tainus, ti'ima is not a violation of a tainus. You could taste something. But when the Chacham made a tainus tzibur, they wanted to have more restrictions. So they said, we're going to ask the ti'ima as well. Even though Mikra Din Tima is not a violation of Edom. But then look at the last paragraph here, his suggestion of another difference. It says, Delo Tase Sheyeshnu B'Sheila Kil Yoser. Whenever you have something that you could, you know, undo, there's a She'ela, that means it's inherently weaker. When it comes to a Neder, I could go to a rabbi and do a Tars Nedar. I could just remove it and it could vanish. As opposed to Tainus Tzibur, I can't do a Tarsa Dharma and a Tainus Tzibur. We all have to fast and Shavasa B'Tamlas and Tisha B'Av and so on. So therefore, that shows there's an inherent weakness to a Tainus Yachid. And that might be why Ti'ima is permitted on a Tainus Yachid as opposed to a Tainus Tzibur. And then he says, may I time it from this reasoning, Dachi Ase Lilo Sase, V'Ase Shiesh B'Sheila. And therefore, you could be Dochi each other. V'Lachein B'Kibul Tainus Alatzmo Einu Chamer Kol Kach. Came in Efshe B'Sheila, like we just said. Aval B'Tzibur, Tainus Tzibur, Eina B'Sheila, V'Gam, he adds in now, it's a mitzvah derabim, derabim dachi ase. And therefore, even though saying a brach el vatala is a violation of saying Shem Hashem, it's an issa deraisa, but still, a mitzvah derabim of Tainus is more important than a mitzvah deraisa of a yachid. So that's his last application. He suggests as to why one should not eat on a Tainus Tzibur because it's Rabim. Now the question is just to leave it off as, Tzarech Iyim, is this really true? Could you really apply Mitzvah de Rabim here in this particular case? We said, Rabbi Kivi Eger, it's very likely that only a Mitzvah that's Mezake the Rabim may qualify as a Mitzvah de Rabim. Is this true that a Tainus Tzibur is considered a Mitzvah de Rabim or not? So again, it gets into that conversation, how to define Mitzvah de Rabim. We had a number of different examples. We had, number one is the most restrictive understanding was only if you're Mezake the Rabim and you need him for the minute. But then we had the Gemara itself in Moed Katan says, but Regel is a mitzvah derabim. We had the question, the Gemara says, do you practice Avelis on Yantif or not? And the Gemara says, of course not, because Yantif is a rabim, and it's greater than Avelis, which is only a yachid. But there we see the Gemara does call mitzvah of Regel a rabim, even though it's not mezakah the rabim. You don't minin of all. You don't need a minin for rabim. Rabim, according to the Gemara Moed Katan, the simple understanding is that when rabim have a chiv to do something together, so then that would be considered mitzvah derabim. So again, it gets confusing how to define mitzvah derabim. Yeah.
Regular is not mezakah derabim.
I don't need you. You don't need me to fulfill the mitzvah of yantif eating meat and yain.
It is rabim.
It is rabim, but it's not mezakah derabim. So according to that Rabbi Kiyager, who quoted Rush, that it might be minyan might be different because the freeing of the eved is mezakah derabim. The Gemara Moed Katan seems to go against that because we're not mezakah derabim by the yantif, and yet we still call it a mitzvah derabim. So it seems to be unclear.
The individual is not mezakah derabim.
Exactly, right.
If he practices avelus, then the people around him are affected by it, no?
Yeah, but it might be effective, but they're not mezakeh the rabbim.
Exactly.
You might be ruining it, but again, you're not being, by you keeping it, not mezakeh. I mean, you could still fulfill the mitzvah. They could still have the mitzvah of simchas regel, even though this guy's walking around all upset because he's lost a relative, obviously. It doesn't mean it's going to take away the mitzvah. They could still get the mitzvah.
If he's in a velus, are people allowed to come to be menachem him?
No.
No, they're not.
So either way, it's again quite confusing conversation this topic here. We'll stop here now, but next week, Mirta Hashem, we'll continue with a much lighter topic on the Isser of Tasporeth, the Isser of a cutting hair for an Avel.